Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, the theme of today's service is Jesus. That's enough, right? We sing Jesus is more than enough. Is that enough? So we can close the service. Say, Jesus, let's go. And we can go, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, the way, the truth, and what?
Life.
The life. Wow. Jesus is the life. Someone says you're living the life. If you don't have Jesus, you aren't living the life. Do you understand? When you have Jesus, yes, you have the life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And what a life. What a life. You approach every day with certainty. Do you understand? I mean, I listen to some of you, some things that you've shared, and I just think, at times I wonder if you contemplate on the uniqueness of who you are. Let me give you an example. Are you in this place? There are some of you, you tell me things like, or you share things like, you know, during testimony that I was in the bus and something happened, I started speaking in tongues. What confidence? You were not born that way. Do you understand? I mean, the confidence that you know there is something you can do when there's a situation that others can't handle is amazing. Such a life. The guy can have all the cars. Once he hears bullets, he's running. But we have such a life. And listen, you know what? We have such an example in the Lord Jesus. Someone says in Jesus' day, no Agbero approached him. Not true. Not true. In John 18, they came with weapons. Broken bottle was there. Do you understand? Weapons. They didn't have guns then. So what do you think they carried? Knife, fork, even spoon. And he says there were many. And I'd like to remind you guys that the Jews were very good at counting. Do you understand? So when they said many, that means Peter didn't have time to count all of them. There were a lot. Some police officers, others hoodlums. And they came to meet him. What an example. He wasn't afraid. In fact, the Bible says he was irritated. Did you read that in your Bible? Okay, I'm telling you now. Go read it. He came and said, did you come out as against a thief? That you came with knives and weapons. That's what he said. He said, I was with you in the temple. Meaning he's saying, it's not this thing that will make me follow you. That's the person whose life we have. He is the Jesus we're talking about. And he says he is the life. So there's a better life God plans for man that nobody can threaten you with weapons. He came out. He said, did you come out as against the thief? That's what he asked them. He said, am I a thief? In normal Nigerian language, do you understand? Am I a thief? That you came with knife. He said, I was always with you on broad daylight. But firstly, he asked them, he said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, it's me. Do you know what happened to them? They fell down. He didn't winch them. He just talked. That is the life that we have received. He said, I am the life. And you know what? When I look at him, I think that is the life. That is the life that I want. Are you paying attention to me? That's the life that I want. At times when I'm driving on the bridge and I think my brake is misbehaving, it's not the money in my account that is on my mind. Do you understand? If it was the first time you were entering a plane, all your life you wanted to enter a plane. And finally you entered the plane. As you were going, you said, ha, thank God, you're not going to cry. And you sit down. And then while you're going, this one even happened, me and Samuel. We're traveling. And we were in the plane together. And then, turbulence in the sky, the plane started going, go. Go. One guy opposite us started telling his partner that the engine is shaking. I was so obsessed with that man. What unbelief. If you're in a plane and it's shaking, I think the last thing you want to hear is that the engine is shaking. How did he even know? So imagine you're in that plane, and while you're in the air, and you've been hearing boom, 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 but you look around, nobody is concerned. So it's okay, maybe this is normal. And then the pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you that one of the engines have failed. Take up your mask. If you believe in God, pray to him. What would be on your mind would not be how many bitcoins you have. I hope. Because people will be saying, please, my uncle should not touch my wallet. But to be more serious, that will not be what was on your mind. Do you understand? What will be on your mind is not the argument you had with your neighbor. What will be on your mind will be, how do I come out of this? And then Jesus said, you know what? I am the life. This is the life that can only be taken away when it lays itself down. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Just said, this one thing I received from my Father. He said, he gave me authority to lay down my life. That is the life that we've received. Until we lay it down, we're not going anywhere. Do you understand? He is the life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are blessed, aren't we?
Yes.
We are blessed. And as I'm walking down the road, let me tell you something. Your present feeling doesn't change the truth. So if we're walking down the road and someone comes and says, hey, your knife, or I have knife, your phone. All right? And you might feel startled. It doesn't change the truth. Remember the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If there's nothing else you remember to do, just speak in tongues. You're not alone. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So let's go to that wonderful verse where he said it. John chapter 14. Jesus is the life. Whoever doesn't have him, I've not started living the life. They are living, but with a certainty. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place?
Yes,
I'm thinking, I remember he was in that boat. And I'll never get tired of talking about that boat. But when I get to heaven, I'll see that boat. All right? And the Bible says he was sleeping. He wasn't awake. And the boat, the wind was so boisterous. Remember something? There's a popular saying, it's not the water outside the boats that sinks the boat. It's water inside the boat. Are you paying attention to me? That sinks the boat. And the Bible says, the boat was now filled with water. And it had begun to sink. Do you understand? It's not like the boat was shaking, no, then they called Jesus. No. They tried to handle the situation until it was full of water. And it had begun to sink. And he was sleeping somewhere. What sleep? And he came and woke him and said, Master, don't you care? We're about to die. What a life. He got up. He didn't answer any of them. Have you ever slept and woke up and you were agile? No. He woke up, looked at them, went to the sea. With that sleepy state, do you understand? Said, peace, be still. The wave did not say, you that just woke up. I'm not going anywhere. No. What a life. A life that takes charge of every situation. Listen, it is real. Do you understand? It is real. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If there are some situations you cannot control, you're still a slave. Anything can get you. Anything can intimidate you. But there is a life that when you receive, even if the place is burning, that's why he told us of Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego. Examples in the world. To let you know that fire doesn't have to mean the end. He made fire. That means he knows there's something inside that cannot burn you. Are you seeing that? Someone says, no. It was the first man in the fire that caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not to be burnt. I agree with you. Guess what? That fourth man lives in me. So I don't need to wait for him to appear anymore. If you throw me in, he's inside too. Praise the Lord. John 14. John 14, verse 1. I try to be fast today. We'll continue next week. Are you paying attention to me? Are you sure? Some of you are quiet though. After service, I'll block you. All right, verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Have your heart ever been troubled before? You were troubled. You had so many things to think about. Someone just did like that. Do you understand? And then you think of everything, just... He says, let not your heart be troubled. That means you can stop it. Do you understand? So someone thinks, I've spent how many years on this path? And I'm not even sure I'm seeing road clearly. And you're concerned. He said, let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus talking to you. Praise the Lord. Are you paying attention to me? How about that admission? Let not your heart be troubled. How about that cash? Let not your heart be troubled. How about the landlord? Let not your heart be troubled. There's a reason. He says, you believe in God. Do you believe in God? Who is God? Some nice guy whose name starts with G? No, he is God. When you hear God, think of someone that can do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. You know what that means? He says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm doing something. Do you understand? He says, believe me, I'm doing something. Do you understand? I mean, if you came to meet me and said, Pastor, I need to get a house. I need to get a house. And I said, you know what? Don't be bothered. Believe me. I mean, you go home flying. What does that mean? It means, I'm doing something. Do you understand? But you know, even I, in a human sense, have limitations. At times, you've already gotten the money, and then the owner doesn't want to give the house. So money is no longer the problem. It's the owner. But you have Jesus that can do anything, that can touch any man. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe me. Believe me. He says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. He said, believe me. Look at it. No. Think about it. He's telling you something. He's saying, listen, PK, believe me. Because you can hear it and not believe. Do you understand? You can know Jesus and not believe in what he can do. He said, listen, believe me. Believe in me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 1 again. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You know, we can just stay here and we'll be happy. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be what? Also. And whither I go, ye know, and where you know. Now what's happening here? I just want to pause on this because we shared something devotional, okay? He says, whither I go, ye know, the way ye know. You know, he was leaving the world. Did you notice that in devotional yesterday? He was leaving the world. And he said, where I'm going, you know. And he knew where he was going to. You know, there are people, I said it in the article, there are people who think that it is when you die, you would know whether you made heaven or you're going to hell. Where did they get that from? There is no man of God that left that did not know where he was going to. David knew he was going to meet his fathers. Do you understand? Jesus knew where he was going to. And he said other people would know. I mean, you can believe in this world going to heaven. Others will know she's going to heaven. You don't wait. If you wait, some things are surprise. You die open, surprise, you're in hell. Because if it's surprise, you're going to hell. Everybody who is going to heaven would know. If you don't know, it's hell straight. So say, but I love God. No, but you're not confident in what you know about him. No, you should know. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You should. He says, the way I'm going, you know. Where was he going? He was going to meet the Father. Do you understand? And he wants you to know where you are going to when you leave this world. Even Paul knew Paul said, henceforth, he knew where he was going to, he knew what was waiting for him. He said, henceforth, there's a crown. So if you said hell, it didn't concern him. He knew he was going to. If you're a Christian here, you should know where you're going to. When you leave this place, people, it's not what they say in film. He has gone to a better place. You know? And some people just practice witchcraft in movies. They say things like, I know the spirit of my son is watching over me. Have you heard that nonsense before? It's like, I can feel his presence. Bro, it's witch you're feeling. It's witch. It's not your son, it's witch. So I feel him in the house. That's a ghost. Why? Because Jesus told us there is no such thing as waiting places for spirit. I know people that like to believe that. That ended with after Jesus resurrected. There's no such place. When a man dies, he's going to heaven or he's going to hell. That's why he told us the story of Lazarus and the rich man. I know many people have a lot of theories. They say the guy died, then he went to a place that was white and he was just waiting. No, he dreamt. Because guys, I came back from the dead. He said, yes. When I died, I went to a place, it was white. I was just waiting. They say it's the waiting room. He was sleeping. It was a dream. Because when Lazarus died, immediately he went to Abraham's bosom. When the rich man died, immediately he went to Hades. There was no waiting room. Do you understand? So here, Jesus knew where he was going to. And he wants you to know where you're going to. In fact, when you're born again, the direction changes. He sent you here. That is the confidence with being a Christian. Not, I don't know if I'll make heaven. I don't know. Listen, there are people who say that because they're doing the wrong things. I've said before, if you're doing the wrong thing, stop it. Do you understand? Stop it. Stop doing the wrong things. And be on your way. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, verse 4. He says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, I like Thomas. He says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Very honest guy. Jesus will be talking so, you know, the way Jesus talks. He's saying, I know, you know where I'm going to. No, listen to this. Listen to this. Then we heard him talk about where he was going to. And all of a sudden, he comes and says, you know. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going to. He says, then how can we know the way? Because he said, you know where I'm going to, and you know the way. Thomas said, firstly, we don't know. Let's be clear now. Because, you know, when he said it, Thomas would have told other disciples, you know. Do you know? You know, am I the only okay? We don't know. He says, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where was he going to? To the Father. So he's going to the Father. He says, I am the way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 7. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have what? Seen him. Another wahala. The first time he said, you know where I'm going to, you know the way. They said, Master, we don't know any of that. Now he's talking, very happy. Verse 7. He starts talking. Verse 7. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him. I said, okay. And have seen him. This is an issue. Verse 8. First it was Thomas, now it was Philip. Right? There's a song like that. First it was fragrance, then it turned to fire. Okay. So first it was Thomas, now it's Philip. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it's so Philip. Because you know, that is the way he said he was going to. The Father. And that is the person he said they have seen. The Father. You know, say, just show us the Father and it will be okay. This is where I'm going to. Verse 9. Now, if you were the disciples listening, and now Jesus has said, you have seen him. Philip said, Master, show us the Father. You think Jesus, all right, all of you close your eyes. Hold your hands. What is about to show now? This is a very special moment. Remove your shoe, holy ground. That's what you expect. I'm sure they were waiting for you to say, look up. Then he says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Philip would have said, that's the end. Let's just
as you, we can't understand this man. Because he said, show us the Father. And then Jesus said, have I been so long with you, you have not known me? And Philip said, excuse me. Is it you? He didn't finish. He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how seest thou then show us the Father? They gave up. They stopped asking questions. But I want you to notice what he was saying. He was saying, I am the way to the Father. And then when you get to the Father, it is me you would see. There's a reason for that. If you're an unbeliever, you need to get to the Father. Do you understand? Jesus is that way. I remember when I was in school, I went to my, you know, secondary school teacher's staff room. That's what they called it then. And the geography teacher, so intelligent, was sharing how Christians and Muslims take these things too seriously. That God is like a tree with different branches. That Christianity is one branch. Islam is another branch. Everybody was listening to him. And he said, you know, people who sound like they know what they are saying, at times they don't know anything. He sounded so sure. Do you understand? He said, Christianity is one branch. Islam is one branch. Buddhism is another branch. Branches break. Jesus said, I am the way. The definite article. Not a way. Not some other way. Not another one you can try. He said, I am the way. And I told you guys, God proved it by raising him from the dead. He proved it. Every other person has come to tell us they know how God is. When they died, the message died with them. God did not agree. They finally died. God said, it's good, remain there. When Jesus died, God thought, no, his message is correct. So what? He resurrected and he is alive forevermore. But Jesus is the way. So if you're not sure of where you're going to, after you leave this world, there is a way that when you pass, you'll be sure. His name? Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have come through that way, then live your life with confidence. Do you understand? If someone comes and said, where did you go into? You said, he's in me already. You're there already. So that's one. But when you get to the Father, he said, I am one with the Father. So let me give you an example. PK, can you come? So you stay here. This is the Father. All right? And I am Paul. Because I can't be Philip. All right? See Philip here. Now, Jesus said, now all my life, do you know all of man's life, he wants to please God. Do you understand? That's the reason for all the religions, to please God. So people pray 5 times a day. Some people don't eat cow. Some people do this. Some people, do you understand? They want to please God. Now, Jesus comes and says, you know what? You don't have to, because listen, all these people trying to please God are pleasing him just in case you'll be happy. Do you understand? So they're doing everything just to make him happy, in case. So when they die, if he's okay, they say, okay, come, you are happy. But Jesus has a better option. He says, I am the way to the person you're trying to please. That means this is the way, is Jesus. And so I follow that way, and I'm with the Father. Do you understand? I'm with him. There's no trying to please him. It's too late. I'm already there. Do you understand? Others are pleasing him in case he will accept them. Me, I came straight up. Now everything I do is for his pleasure. Do you understand? No, but when I get to the Father, Jesus said, it is me. I am one with the Father. So now that I've come to the way, what do I do all my life? I want you to think about it. I was not born again before. Do you understand? So I was separated from God. And now Jesus is the way, and then I follow the way, and I come to the Father. For some of you, you got born again 10 years ago. For some of you, 5 years ago. Now that you are born again, what do you do? I mean, you're with the Father. Will you just be looking at him? There is a purpose for your life. You can sit down. Thank you. There is a purpose. Now that you're with the Father, there is a purpose. There is an instruction. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That you must follow. And there's an inheritance that you must receive. Listen to these three. There is a purpose. Now that you're with the Father, there's an instruction. And there's what? An inheritance. All your life on the earth should meet these three. The purpose. the instruction, the inheritance. If all of man's desire is to be with the Father, and now I am here with the Father, what next? I find the purpose. I find the instruction. I find the inheritance. Let's look at the purpose. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 29. Romans 8 verse 29. Quickly. On your own at times, do you just sing praises to God? Yes. Or you wait until we come to church? What a life if you do that. You are so boring. If you wait until, and some people, even when they come to church, they can't even praise and worship. Why are you worshiping? As well, they're about to die. You know, no joy. No, on your own. You should sing praises to God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. At times, maybe you were in the bus and there was this useless song playing. My belle, oh, my head, oh. Throughout the bus trip. Now you're at home sleeping. My belle, oh. I say, no, devil, get out. You've been faithful, Lord. Invite God to your room. Do you understand? Yeah. Learn to do that. Learn to do it. You know, at times, I don't know if that's happened to you before. Where did I say she goes? To Romans 8, right? 29. Okay, stay there. I don't know if it happened to you before. Maybe something happened and you are supposed to be angry. Do you understand? You're supposed to be sad. You're supposed to be angry because of that thing that happened. And for some reason, inside your heart is a song that is there. Has it happened to you before? No, let me be sure it's not only me. Has it happened to you before? Maybe you heard something. If it has not happened to you before, it should begin to happen. Because you should learn to make melodies in your heart. And that is by the Spirit. It happens to me. At times, something, maybe I read something. And I'm upset. In my mind, I know I should be upset. And if I'm upset, I'm correct. Do you understand? So I want to be upset. But inside my heart, I'm hearing, you are more than that. And I'm saying, shut up. No. No. Not now. You're supposed to be angry. Eventually, I give in. Do you understand? Because not now. I should be telling someone something okay with you. And then I'm hearing, you are more than life to me. Because you should learn to do these things. Do you understand? On your own, while you're washing, sing to the Lord. Do you get it? Yeah. Do that. All right. Romans 8, verse 29. So I said the purpose. For whom he did foreknew, he also what? Did predestinate. Now, this is a KJV word that seems big, but it means he gave you a destiny. All right? He foreknew, meaning he knew you before you were born. Did God know you before you were born?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. He did. He told Jeremiah, I knew you, right? Before you were formed. All right, so it says, for whom he did foreknew, he also did what? Predestinate. So everybody who God knew before they were born, they have a destiny. Say, I have a destiny.
I have a destiny.
Your destiny is not to be a doctor. It's nice to be a doctor. But that cannot be anybody's destiny. Do you understand? If God gives, listen, let me tell you something. God gives the best. And the best is himself. So he will not give you something that he can do without. If you're a doctor, he's the greatest doctor there is. Do you know that? Yeah. I was sharing with them 2 weeks ago how that the Bible tells us of the woman with the issue of blood. And the Bible says, let's go there because I want you to see it. Because my time is up, so I'll probably do this next week. Mark 5. I just want you to see it because it's so nice. And it's so inspiring. Verse 25. Mark 5, verse 25. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right, pay attention to this. We're about to close. The Bible says Jesus just got back from traveling. Look at me. Leave that one first. He just got back from traveling. Pay attention to this. You can't miss it. All right? He had traveled somewhere, Gadara, and immediately he got to the shore because we were in a boat. A madman ran towards him. Do you understand? It was not planned for. Then he got to the shore, the madman ran towards him. Now the Bible talks about this madman. He will cut himself with stones and be shouting, meaning he was possessed. He didn't want to, but he was possessed. And so once he saw Jesus, that man, do you understand? Not the demon. Demon will not try to run to Jesus. The man, knowing that his deliverance had come, ran to Jesus. And the Bible says they had tried to hold him with chains. He broke the chains. Ran to Jesus and fell down on his feet. And then the demon started talking with Jesus. He said, please don't cast us out. Okay, if you cast us out, send us to the pigs. Meaning demons enter animals. So that stuff about the cats is true. Yeah, if they can enter pigs, they can enter dogs. They can enter cats. They can enter bed. That's why everybody has condemned the vulture. They were the ones who begged to enter pigs. Meaning they can possess pigs. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So immediately they brought that dog to the house. Trouble. Everyday trouble. The fridge first and foremost spot. They didn't get it until it got worse because of that dog. I'm saying that because of us that don't like dogs, we want you to remove dogs from the house. And so they begged him, send us to the pig. Then Jesus was puzzled by these demons. Do you understand? Because every other demon that meets him, they just shout who he is. We know who you are, trying to threaten him. Say, shut up, get out. But this one came to beg. No time. Do you understand? They came to beg for their relocation. They knew they were going. They just wanted to be sure where they were going to. Do you understand? So they came to beg. And then he was puzzled. He said, okay, so what's your name? They said, Legion, for we are many. Meaning there were so much. So imagine how they sounded. Not with one voice. Plenty.
We are many.
Say, Legion, for we are many. You know, I heard now, just as an aside, that people now put pronouns. I don't know if you've seen that before. So now they say, I am he, her. I am she, her. I am he, him. Have you seen that before? If you've seen that before, let me see your hand. Those of you, if you've not seen it before, thank God. It's not something to see. But let me just explain to you, because I'm seeing the future and I want you to know something that's happening. All right? What's happening now is, they say there are people that are like, that were born women, but they say they are men. Do you understand? I'm sure you've heard that one before. And there are people that were born men, they say they are women. And so, in order to not to see a man and mistakenly call him a woman, he has to introduce himself to you. So even though the guy looks like pigs, I say, no, my pronouns are she, her. Do you understand? This is serious. In a state in the U.S., New York, it's a crime to misgender someone. So if I call, if this guy doesn't like me, and I call him and say, sir, he said, no. Did you just call me sir? It's ma, police, and they'll take you away. It's crazy, right?
Yes.
But it's happening. Now, what I was still thinking, that was ridiculous. Then I added a new one, they, them. Normally, if I was coming, you say, is she coming? Do you understand? If I'm a man, you should say, is he coming? But now they've added they, them. So now, if I'm coming and I say my pronoun is they, them, you say, are they coming? What does that sound like? Legion! Jesus said, what is your name? He gave him his pronouns. Legion, for we are many. They, them. So that's evil spirit. And I've seen these people. Do you understand? These are real people who say they don't identify with any gender. They are gender fluid. Anyway, that's not my message. I'm just trying to show you that it's demonic. Do you understand? And so, Jesus said, who are you? What's your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And then Jesus said what? Go. And then he said go. The pigs were far away. And immediately these demons entered the pigs. The Bible says over 2,000 of them. And immediately those pigs ran and committed suicide. They fell in the river and they drowned. And the owners of those pigs were so scared. They went to the city. Not to publish the gospel. But to spread another one. There's someone that is killing our things, so. There's someone that is killing our animals. Be careful. He might come and destroy your horse. Be careful. He might come and destroy your donkey. So the Bible says the whole village, he had not even entered the city. The whole village came out. Then they saw the man that was possessed with devils. Now he was okay. Do you understand? Seated and on his right mind. And they told Jesus, please leave. You know, some people say, if that man was a man of God and he went to that city, they should have welcomed him. No. Jesus was not a man of God. Jesus was God himself. And the people came together and said, go. You know what? He didn't say, hey, homie. You're not even happy I came to your town. You say I should go on the last day. We shall see. Or he didn't say I'm not going anywhere. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You can't move me. No, you know what happened? He left. You know, I love Jesus so much. He left. He didn't swear for them. Do you understand? He didn't abuse them. He was going. They said, go. He was entering the port. Now, that was where he was coming from. All right? Once he got to the city, he had traveled back. One man came. Bible says they came to welcome him. Then one man, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, came and said, Master, Master, my daughter is about to die. Please come, come. Do you understand? It was urgent. So immediately Jesus landed in that city. He started following Jairus. Where? To his daughter's house. What were they doing? They were trekking. Do you understand? So if you're here trekking, you don't have a car yet, relax. You're a follower of Jesus. All right. So they were trekking and they were going. And Bible says the multitude. So that is where I am right now. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and what? Thronged him. You know what throng means? It means they were pressing him. The Bible says he went to his disciples. Do you understand? And they were like bodyguards at times. But they were much. Let's read this. He says, and much people followed him and thronged him. I'm saying this to say Jesus is the greatest physician. All right? And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Meaning she had a sickness for 12 years. Do you know people like that? They've been sick for years. This one was an issue of blood for 12 years. Verse 26. And had suffered many things of the sickness. Is that what the Bible says? Pay attention. It says, and had suffered many things of the sickness. Is that what the Bible says? No, it was separate. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. But see the people that caused her suffering. Many what? Doctors. And have you seen people like that? From one doctor to another. In fact, immediately leave this doctor, it becomes worse. Have you seen cases like that? The guy could walk small. Now he went to this doctor. Now he's going like this. Then he went around and said, just cut it off. It's worse. He says, and I suffered many things. Of many what? If the Spirit of God says many things, that means that woman saw me. He says, had suffered many things of many physicians and what? Had spent all that she had. Listen, the world has not changed. Don't you know people with this story? The guy was working with NNPC until he got kidney disease. Then he had to retire. Now every money that has come, he has spent it traveling to India, traveling to China. Wherever they say there's a kidney, he has gone there. And you know what? He has spent all that he has. And you know what? He said, and has spent all that she had and was what? Nothing better, but rather what? Have you seen cases like that? I said that, I came here actually to tell you that being a doctor cannot be your destiny. It can be a path. Do you understand? Something you pick up along that path. But that is not the goal of your life. Someone says, I want to be a great IT engineer. Yes, that is nice, but that cannot be your destiny. Because there is more. Whatever you're doing that God can outdo and rubbish cannot be your destiny. He gives you a destiny that is unique to him. Let me just finish this. It says, and I saw so many physicians, and I spent all that she had. Listen, if you're here reading this, and you know someone who has so many things, so many physicians, and I spent all that they had, and was nothing better, that rather grew worse, I think you should want to finish this story. Do you understand? I think you should want to finish it. Because that is not where the story stopped. So that's 27 for those of you who might have this. It said, and when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. She didn't need him to say, out. Do you understand? This is what her faith could do. She touched his cloth. She had enough faith that if I just touch his cloth, this problem I've had for 12 years would cease. If you have a problem for that long, he has something better than his cloth. It's his word. Do you understand? I mean, it matters where your faith is at. You can say, if I just hear his word, I'll be healed. And that is a miracle. His word is better than a cloth because his word made all things. See, I'm talking about verse 28. For she said, are you saying, this was deliberate, not by mistake, that she was going to say, I can't touch him now. I can't call his attention. Let me just touch him. No, she went there for a purpose. For she said, if he might touch but his clothes, I shall be what? Whole. Verse 29. And straightway, the fountain of her blood did what? Was dried up. For 12 years, it took few seconds with Jesus. 12 years! 12 years! And we also saw someone, but he said, something that I've suffered for years, you think it can just end like that? Yes, it can just end like that. This is the Jesus, the Bible says. A man came with withered hand. Have you seen withered hand before? In Mark 3, Luke 6, his hand was withered. And Jesus said, stretch it out. And when he stretched it out, a new hand came. In a few seconds. He says, and straight from her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30, this is where I'm going to. It's so nice for you guys. He says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. So I see what's happening. When she touched him, she felt something in her body. And him too, he felt something in his body. Remember, the multitude were thronging him, so she was not the only person that had touched him that day. People were touching him. But hers was different. But here's the thing. I said it with them. He didn't know she was going to touch him. He didn't know. He wasn't expecting it. Because if he was, as she was coming to touch him, he would have said, hey, stop there. I know what you're about to do. All right, touch. He didn't know. I told you, your faith, you have something better than his cloths. It is his word. So you can come for this service and all you came is just to see Lee Jomo. But you can live with something better. He says, and Jesus, merely knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press. You know what press is? They are pressing him. Okay, but press means lots of people. In the press, I said, who touched my clothes? Verse 31. And the disciple said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and says, I will touch me. The disciple says, are you, people are touching you. They are touching you. And you ask him, who touched me? Verse 33 or 32. And look, I'm about to see how I've done this thing. 33. Are you in this place? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, there are two lessons to learn here, and then I'll close, and we'll continue next week. First thing, I want someone to get this in this place. You see, your miracle is not dependent. Look at that. Her miracle was not dependent on the consciousness of the Lord. Did you notice that? It was dependent on her faith. It wasn't based on his consciousness. It wasn't about the meeting. It was not teaching. I said it was striking. Do you understand? If you're going to buy bread and someone touches you and say, now I can walk, you say, how? You're going to buy bread. So he was not teaching. This was not a teaching meeting. There was no worship. Someone says, when I close my eyes and worship, I feel the anointing. And then I know the fire will go. You're wasting time. If it's serious, any moment with the word is enough. Any moment with the world is enough. So look at this. His consciousness was not required. The woman did not need him. She had enough faith. Listen, that is the faith that can work a miracle. She said, if I touch his garment, I shall be whole. And she touched him. And she was going. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. There's people that get a miracle in a place. And they say, let me wait for 3 days to see if it will last. Unbelief. Guess what? It might not last. You had pounding headache. While the session was going on, the headache disappeared. He said, let me wait to be sure if it's God. You want to wait to be sure if it's God? That's unbelief. Look at it. The woman came with a purpose. Touch his cloth and go. She didn't touch his garment and say, Lord Jesus, I touch you. Let me just see. I'll come back to testify later. No, she was going. She had finished her mission. She was okay. But Jesus said no. You see, when you get a miracle, I think PK shares it a lot. You don't go. You testify for a reason. Remember her story. Are you paying attention to me? She had suffered many things of many physicians for how long? 12 years. Not just that, she has spent all that she has. So you see, beyond the miracle that she needed, that woman was broke. That woman had wasted 12 years of her life. So if you checked her history, even though she was now well, 12 years was wasted. So Jesus said, no. You know, he's a God that is more than enough. He does extra. So he looked for the woman for a reason. Because he knew she needed something more than healing. She needed wholeness. And so when she came and testified, he said, woman, your faith had made you whole. That means if you check her history, those 12 years will be made whole. Do you understand? Nothing missing. Nothing lacking. And you know what? Whatever money she wasted and spent those 12 years, she'd get it back. Let me explain to you. I was sharing with some folks, and I have ended for sure. How that you can have two men, Peter and Paul, and they both get married at the same time. And this man, after the first year, has a child. Do you understand? This guy has no child. And then after 2 years, this one has two kids, and this one has no child. And after 5 years, this one has three kids, and this one has no child. So you can say for 5 years, what has he been doing? Then in the fifth year, his wife gives birth to triplets. When you check the history and you check the present, they are now the same. That is wholeness. And so he called the woman and said, you know what? Your faith had made you whole. So all she lost, that 12 years, he had given it back to her. Maybe there were some contracts she'd get every year 1 million, every year 1 million, and in 12 years she'd have gotten 12 million. Now, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, meaning in that year, she'd get that 12 million. When you check the records, nothing missing, nothing broken. Listen, he is the way. Do you understand? And he has a destiny for you that is more than what you can get in a university. He is the way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So there's a higher destiny in Christ. I came here because I was trying to explain that your destiny cannot be what you study in school. There is more. In Romans 8 verse 29, he said he predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. He thought, being a doctor is good. Being my son is better. Because when you are like my son, you'll be like the greatest physician. What the doctors cannot do, the word of God can solve. Are you seeing that? Yes. Says being his son is better than being an engineer. Because right now, they are still trying to make shoes that can walk on water. But I know a man that had nobody to carry him, and then he walked on water. You know, someone says, what will Christianity do for me? It can't give me money. I know, but it can give you a miracle. And a miracle is greater than money, because there are some things money cannot buy. Like, right now, if I gave you money and said, go and buy 10,000 loaves of bread and bring it in 1 hour. Can you do that? Would any bakery take you seriously? That you did not tell them 2 weeks ahead? Is that possible? So at that point, the issue is not the money. Right? What you need is a miracle. He says, he has called you to be like that man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We'll continue next week. But while you're sitting down, go ahead and talk to the Lord. We've learned so much today. But at least you can thank him that you're with the Father now. And you have a destiny that is higher than the purposes of man. And you know, we share the story of the woman with issue of blood because there could be someone here and you have an illness you're really dealing with. Or you have a loved one that is really dealing with some problems. Jesus ministered to people's loved ones, like the Syrophoenician woman. He told her, go, the devil's got out of your daughter. So right now I can tell you, in the name of Jesus, your loved one is healed. The problem is gone. The devil is gone. The one who needs clearer eyesight has gotten it. It's just like that. The one whose muscles and bones are uncomfortable, healing has come to your body now. When we are done, check your ankle. Check your wrists. Check your joints. That thing you're suspecting might be arthritis. That squeezing is gone in the name of Jesus. It's gone. And some of you, you're hearing someone here ringing in your ears, in your head. Once in a while, something is ringing inside. You see that demon? It's gone. It's gone. There's no time to waste with devils. They are all falling. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Speaking of